We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line on WGNS. This morning, we are focusing on the city of Murfreesboro. We're going to cover a lot of topics this morning. Everybody pull the microphone up real close to you. Let it be your best buddy for the next hour. And today we're visiting with Nate Williams, the Executive Director of the Recreation Services for the City of Murfreesboro. Nate, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Bart. It's good to see you.
Good to have you with us today. And along with Nate is Aaron Tucker, the Chief Financial Officer, the City Recorder, and the treasurer for the city of Murfreesboro. Aaron, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good to have you here today. And my buddy Greg McKnight over here, executive director of the development services for the city of Murfreesboro. Greg, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
We're going to cover a lot of topics today. The three of you are involved in so many things. Let's start with Nate, not because we want to be cruel.
That's fine, Bart. I'm 2 days a row on this show.
I listened to you yesterday. You sounded good.
I've got even more to put out there. So, yeah.
Well, there's so many things that were not covered yesterday. One of those, do you have anything like a master plan in your future for updating the green, as if the greenways needed updated, but times do change quickly.
Yeah. We actually went through a master plan, Bart, last year. Went through extensive process and shows that what the greenway is going to become over the next 15, 20 years. And that's available online at murfreesboroparks.com. People can see that. But we're always looking at master planning and trying to stay ahead of trends and what might happen. And excited for the future. We've had a lot of development over the past few years and a lot of refurbishment. I look at Old Fort Park. You know, we added a skate park. A kid's castle was done about 11 years ago. We did a renovation of the golf course. We're in the current process of renovating that front field that was built in the 1970s. We've just recently resurfaced all the courts at Adams Tennis Complex and then renovated the original 8 courts. So we look at stuff like that and we plan for those types of projects, but also new development projects in the future like Veterans Park that's in process right now and under construction.
Has that already been the ideas for what's going to be incorporated in Veterans Park? Have those already been put together?
Yeah, it's been put together and bid out. And we've got a contractor that's had a really good opportunity to work in a pretty dry fall season, early fall, summer season. So a lot of the mass grading that they had to do has been done, and they're starting to fine-tune and work on other elements of the park. But we're excited about Veterans Park. I think that area needs a park just like that. It's about 150 acres, and it could serve other city services in the future. For example, a fire station, a police precinct, potentially an education opportunity. But what we're going to have there is just a great trail system, several pavilions, pickleball courts, and an event space, and a destination playground that's unlike anything we've got in Murfreesboro right now.
Now, a lot of people think that the Veterans Park is in the Blackman community, and I guess it is if you use your imagination a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think, you know, as we've grown.
Where is it?
Yeah, it's off Veterans Parkway. If people are familiar with Veterans Parkway, right across from TOA and Murfreesboro Medical Clinic in that Publix area.
So it's across from those?
Across the street, yes, sir.
Okay. So that'll make it really nice. That gives a whole lot of things to do in that end of town.
It does, and I think there's so much walkability down there when it can the connection that it has to the neighborhoods and the businesses. I think it's going to serve a great purpose for a long time to come.
Now, 150 acres, you say?
Yeah, roughly. You know, the park takes up, you can kind of divide that in multiple different ways, but right now that property is about 150 acres. And again, it will be used for future city services as well. We're planning for potentially a fire station that has been in extensive discussions, a future potential police precinct, and then there might be an opportunity for future education space as well if needed.
Now, how does that compare, 150 acres, how does that compare to other parks in the area?
You know, I think our park system is unique in that we do have large parcels of land. We've got about 2,000 acres in the park system. Another park, you know, Old Fort Park is right around 100 acres, but I think you look at something like Barfield Crescent Park is a 473-acre park, and that's really unique. Most municipalities wouldn't have that much park space dedicated, or green space or wilderness area. So we're lucky to have multiple parks that are big. And, you know, we're always looking towards the future. Our council, fortunately, supports us looking at properties that we might be able to develop in the future as we continue to sustain growth in Murfreesboro.
Very good. We'll get back to you in just a little while, but let's jump over to Greg McKnight, because one of the big things that he is working on are plannings and projects and things of that sort, and we have a lot of plans and projects in Murfreesboro.
Yeah, that's for sure, Bart.
What is the, as you look at what's on your plate right now, what is the thing that seems to get the most public's attention?
Probably the Keystone Project off of Northwest Broad and Town Creek. The Town Creek project, the uncovering of Town Creek off of, just on the south side of Northwest Broad, as a matter of fact. So that's all the questions we get. Where are we in that process, and what's going on with all the dirt being moved just across
what is
Northwest?
Happening?
So, yeah.
That's a great question, Greg. Why is all the dirt being moved?
A lot of people ask, when is Town Creek starting? Because they don't see anything going vertical, which none of that's going to happen just yet. But right now, all the infrastructure is being put in Town Creek. The electrical along Northwest Broad, underground electrical is going in, the conduit for it. The drainage system off of Northwest Broad has been put in. And now at Front Street, which is a big question, Front Street has been disrupted and demoed to actually get ready to turn Town Creek under Front Street in the new direction that Town Creek will actually be going.
How will it go under? Will there be a bridge there? Or will there be a culvert?
It'll still be a bridge there. They'll go back with a regular bridge, but at grade level, and then there'll be a pedestrian at grade level crossing across Front Street to get to Kennesburg. But all that will be redone with Town Creek.
And green space and all of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so the next step is to actually turn the water out of the flume under Front Street and then work their way back to South Church Street with the creek. So they'll dam the creek up, do some work, dam the creek up until they get to South Church, and then they'll make that connection to Murphy Springs.
And we're talking about the daylighting of Town Creek.
That's correct.
Which is right along Hickerson Drive.
Right along Hickerson Drive, Broad, between Hickerson and Northwest Broad, from Front Street to South Church.
Now, as we go across South Church to where Kentucky Fried Chicken was, yep, and a gas station later, I've forgotten the name of the gas station, but where will the creek be? I know it's under there in a culvert. Will it be daylighted there as well?
It will not be daylighted there. It will actually run like it's running under Church, South Church, and then daylight just on the other side of South Church. And then that's where it'll start daylighting with a grade across it there so that we can have crossings back and forth to Northwest Broad.
What will be there? Because that's not a real attractive area right now.
It will not, but it will be also going on in that area, developing in that area is also a pedestrian bridge that will
be. So the bridge will be over there?
The pedestian bridge will be at the corner of South Church.
On the Kentucky Fried Chicken side?
On the
the other side.
Where the park, the old car lots used to be.
Yes.
They'll be on that side to the north.
But now, when you're over on the side where you're daylighting Town Creek, will it be there or will it be the other corner, the corner that if you use your imagination, Kentucky Fried Chicken's land would have gone down to?
Yeah, that will just be green space.
Okay,
and park.
The bridge will be over there where there used to be a green space next to the break.
Yeah, just
store.
Be green space there.
Okay.
The pedestrian bridge will be on the corner of Northwest Broad and South Church to the north, where the police annex.
I'm sure people have asked you this before, but will there be a handicap access to the bridge?
It will be. There will be an elevator for handicap access to the bridge, as well as a ramp on the other side. Yes.
So that'll be
perfect. Something that just came out on Facebook, there was a great virtual tour of what it's going to look like. And it helps, I think, people visualize exactly what that's going to look like. And I think that's on our YouTube page as well, but on Facebook. And I think people can go out and see, and it gives you a real good feel of what that is going to do to this downtown area.
For the whole area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is exciting to see all of that happening. And all of that is coming together. And when do you think we'll start seeing something like, I guess, the daylighting of Town Creek will be the first part of that.
Yeah, it'll be the first part. It's actually scheduled to be completed October of 2026. Will be the completion date of town, the daylighting of Town Creek.
Wow, that's going to be super. What impact will that have on Canonsburg?
I think it's just be an addition to Canonsburg. It'll be a huge addition to the Greenway as well. There'll be a green, there's a multi-purpose path that will connect to the Greenway as well. So you'll be able to get from Murphy Springs down to Town Creek and then on to the Greenway connection.
Yeah, I think we're, Bart, looking at ways to revitalize Canonsburg. You know, Canonsburg was built in the 1970s, 1976 as a bicentennial project, and has been a great staple in the community for years, but I think this is just an opportunity really to make another connection to Canonsburg and really, you know, revitalize and revamp that Greenway access, the trailhead, the village, and our team's working really hard to come up with new ideas and really kind of reinvent what might be able to take place out there. I think, you know, this almost can be a little bit of an arts district, a cultural area. I think we went through the historic bottom study and we learned a lot about what people would love to see out of this area. Yeah. So that's what we're looking towards, how we can incorporate that, not one campus, but just really, you know, play off of each other to revitalize that whole area.
Yeah, and the idea, Bart, for Town Creek is for it to be a 6-to-6 destination, not just, you know, a couple of hours, but for individuals to go down and hang out for, you know, have the opportunity to hang out all day long. So,
and I remember at that meeting you were talking about, Nate, about the historic bottoms. That was amazing. That was over at Patterson Community Center.
We've done a lot of community meetings, and you and I have talked about this a lot. That was one of the most positive, unified groups of people that really wanted to see one thing happen down there and got excited about it. And it's fun to see a project like this come to fruition.
For newcomers to town, I have never seen a meeting like that. There were a lot of people there, and then you divided everybody up in groups. Pretty good size groups where you had a chance to have diverse opinions. And then after everybody met for a while and discussed what they wanted to see, they all got back together. And I've never seen this before. Everybody had about the same idea.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it was...
And the excitement coming out of that, too. Nobody was frustrated. It seemed like everybody was just... And I think just learning the history of that area and what it played in Murfreesboro for so long and how we can, you know, honor that area and make it even better.
One of the things that has been a part of, or had been a part of it in years past, was the flooding. It was lowland. It flooded all the time. And that's why Town Creek was put under the road.
In the culvert.
In the culvert.
It's fascinating. Greg can probably speak to this really well, but some of the stuff as they've been excavating and finding a lot of, you know, I guess, relics of the past,
like,
and vegetation.
Time capsules.
Yeah. I think they found some really interesting stuff.
Yeah, bottles and then the layers. You know, Town Creek is, that area was built up probably 10 feet, but you can actually see the layers of dirt changing colors. So it's pretty interesting to go over and see just the old history of how it was built and developed in that area.
So they found marbles. Somebody said they found a roller skate or something like that.
There are marbles,
bottles,
different bottles from different time frames.
How old were these? I mean, what are we talking
dates
about?
Dates back to 1950s, 40s,
back to when they actually did. When did they put that underground?
I think it was 1950 was the first time, and then it collapsed, and it was something, then it was redone, and then it collapsed again. This is the reason we were thinking it was being able to go in and do it daylight the creek right now. So
there's a lot of stories I've heard over the years, and Dr. Gloria Bonner tells me stories about it, remembering it from her childhood, how all the buildings over there were built up on stilts.
Yeah.
And they'd go and lay under the buildings in the hot days and take naps under there because that's the cool place.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of history out there, and it's interesting, the uncovering of history as the project's happening.
Yeah.
And if you look at the wetlands area, that is where Town Creek comes from. It flows through there. I guess
it's got to be inspected by the beavers first.
Yeah,
right. Before it gets down. Well, you don't know anything about that, do you, Mark?
I love beavers. Now, there's one thing there that we need to let people know.
Yeah.
That is not originally a wetland.
Correct.
When the radio station put its tower there, which started in 45, 46, the construction of it, that was just dry as a bone. In fact, I looked at the original agreement with Guy James, who owned the property at the time, and he said to Cecil Elrod, he said, could we have permission to graze cattle around the tower?
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So,
and now you and I are talking every few weeks about water levels.
Water levels up and down. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we're trying our best.
It was a different story there. A lot of people say, well, that's always been a wetland. I remember it always. Well, it wasn't. Yeah. That was 45, 46.
It is pretty interesting. There is a beaver dam at Town Creek at South Church, and right at the end of South Church as well. So
really?
They made it down to Town Creek as well.
They got through the culvert, I guess?
Yeah. You know, we've tried everything we can out there to help balance that water. We've put in different mechanisms, but at the end of the day, sometimes it's just kind of hand-to-hand combat of, you know, busting up.
Who's going to build the biggest dam?
Yeah, I think we're looking at ways, once this project's, you know, done, how we can help that water continue to flow and stay on top of it. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, they're good engineers. They really are.
Oh, it's fascinating to see them.
I've seen a 200-foot-wide dam one time. The worst we've seen it was back, I guess, in the fall or the spring when we had it rain so much, and you and I were looking at it, and Scott came out, but yeah,
that's when he got up into the building.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how quickly they operate.
Mm,
yeah. So, but it's a fun place to go to watch the beavers, watch the turtles, watch the birds, a variety of birds.
Yeah,
there.
It's a great place. When we renovated that boardwalk a couple of years ago, and I think it's a great place for local photographers to go visit Murphy Spring Wetland all the time. A lot of parents and their kids walk around because you can see all kinds of wildlife, from herrings to beavers to otters. And our team, our natural resources team, is really doing a complete renovation of kind of that natural area with all native plants and native species. So it's going to be an education and demonstration area, and we're excited to continue to work on that popular place.
And all of these things that we've been talking about this morning cost money.
Okay.
Funny about that.
Hey, Aaron.
That costs a lot of money. Yeah.
That's where Aaron comes in. Tell us, how is the funding going? Is this coming from our Community Investment Trust, or what's it coming from?
For Town Creek?
Mm-hmm. And all of these things.
Well, Town Creek is probably one of our most unique projects with funding sources. We probably have a dozen different funding sources there. The biggest being the federal ARPA grant money. We got a little over $9 million for that.
Wow.
And so that's a big deal with our timeline of getting it done by next year. We also have participation from Water Resources because of replacing old water lines while we're in there. We had some participation from Middle Tennessee Electric. Because of some of the road work, we're able to use some of our State Street money where it's eligible. General Fund is participating, so it's a big effort from a lot of different sources to cover that project.
Now, one of the big things in Murfreesboro is the history of this community, and I guess you're on the end that you apply for grants and things of that sort. Are there many historical grants that are available that the city is looking at right now to preserve some of our history, for whether it's downtown or underground or wherever it might be?
We have a grant writer or grant manager, Karen Lampert, who works with Angela Jackson, who I'm sure you've spoken with, and she does an excellent job researching grants for all over the city, whether it's public safety, whether it's parks and rec. So she keeps a beat on what's available and reaches out to the different departments to see what we're interested in, what would be a need, and how that can help us. I can't speak to specific grants, honestly, but Karen has been a great resource for us to provide that.
I can say at Cannonsburg, we've gotten several state tourism grants for improvements for, like, the warehouse, some of the renovation that we're doing at the museum, that type of stuff. So like Aaron said, Karen's constantly researching what might be beneficial, and it's helped us out a lot when it comes to refurbishment of buildings. And recently just got one for Bradley Academy Museum and Cultural Center, too, to help with some of our exterior renovations as well.
Let's touch on both of those. You mentioned the warehouse at Canonsburg, which basically, I guess, was a barn or a cotton gin? Or?
It was. It was the only original building left at Canonsburg that was there. And the last bale of cotton that they baled in there is still in that museum. And we're currently renovating that to come, like I said, revitalize, I've said several times. But we kind of want to make a new, fresh experience in that area. So Mary Beth Nevels and her team at Canonsburg are working on that. And I've seen it little bit in what it's going to become. It's going to be something that people want to go back to Canonsburg and visit.
Share with us what it's going to become, because when we went in there in the past, it had some neat things in there, but it felt like you were in a barn, and you could, it seems like you could see through holes in the wall.
That's a pretty accurate description there, Bart. Yeah, you know, it was done in the 1970s and never changed, so we do like the building. It's a unique building. So when you go in there now, we're working on replacing. The roof's been replaced. We're going to replace all those doors to secure everything. And there's some items in there that were just kind of thrown in there just a little bit, but we're going to maybe tell the story just a little bit of Murfreesboro and the agriculture and the industry of that area, and especially that warehouse, with some unique stories that's going to be changing up, so to give reason for people to visit, you know, and come back often to Canonsburg.
That's always a fun place to go, and it's free.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a money-back guarantee, because you can do self-guided tours for free. So, just as, like a lot of things we have.
That's right.
It's very free.
As you look at some other properties around Canonsburg, the old yard sale store and the restaurants, the Mexican restaurant behind it, and eventually Captain D's, all of that, the city now owns all of that land, which is adjacent to Canonsburg. What will that be used for?
You know, I think right now we're just looking. We'll do some planning with Greg's team and look and see what might be the best use for that in the future, and like how we can incorporate that with the downtown, with the Keystone development. It gives us flexibility to see what might be the best use for it, if we have a part in it or a partner, whatever that might look like. So we're starting to look at how that might be beneficial to Murfreesboro and the downtown area.
And we purchased it for the road improvements, correct?
Right. For New Front Street.
Right.
Yes.
Well, Mayor Shane McFarland has been on the radio many times and has brought up the fact that he's concerned with the Greenway trailhead there at Canonsburg. He said, I wouldn't want my wife to be there, and I'm afraid most people wouldn't want to be there either. It's unsafe, in his opinion.
You know, I think that's been conveyed to us to work on. You know, Darren, our city manager, when he first came in, that was one of the first things that the council really pushed on him. And we actually on Monday night just had a meeting with downtown business owners to talk about some of the improvements. And I can't say enough about how much our Murfreesboro Police Department has done to address some of the concerns in downtown Murfreesboro. They've added a whole new district, what they call as a walking district, where there's constantly officers walking around to make sure people do feel safe and comfortable. And we have a homeless task force, which is our host team. And they go out and they really look at those areas where concerns that homeless individuals might be, you know, staying throughout the day, and they make contact. But, you know, they're not just trying to push them along. We've got behavioral health specialists that ride along with those officers who help get the help they need to the people who need it. So I'm really proud of the work that's been done and really the partnership that we've had throughout the city to really address that. I think there's some tangible things happening. It's going to, like we say, we're not going to solve it, but we're going to give it our best effort to make sure we can improve it and make sure Murfreesboro is not a destination for homelessness. That's one thing that we've had. I'll say one more thing, Bart, if I could, that we started really a new partnership with the Journey Home back in June, and the Journey Home has done a tremendous job listening to concerns of the city of Murfreesboro about, you know, operations, and they moving into their new building have done just a tremendous job to help us address some of these issues as well.
So that's going to be a real plus as it goes even farther.
Yeah, I think just the word is partnership between, you know, just the city in general, the police department, the Journey Home, and other services as well. It's something everybody's talking about and figuring out, you know, coming up with plans and communicating on ways to address it.
We will continue the conversation in just a moment, sort of a teaser to make you call some friends and get them to tune in. I understand that Greg McKnight is a real knowledgeable person on Buc-ee's. So we're going to be talking about Buc-ee's when we get back.
There are places where people talk, and then there are places that people talk about. News Radio WGNS is both on air, online, and on the phone.
Hi, this is Jenny at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts.
For decades, Ryan's Flowers has been the good neighbor flower shop.
Came across a lady like that, and it was on a chilly night. She almost didn't answer the door, and at the last minute she did. She was so happy. The look on her face is just overwhelming.
Every order from Ryan's is for a good neighbor.
Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, 117 South Academy, just a couple blocks off the square.
This message brought to you by the Central Tennessee Regional Solid Waste Planning Board. Visit RecycleRightTN.com for tips, ideas, and locations on where to recycle near you. That's RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, it's all on you. Don't be trashy, recycle classy, recycle right, Tennessee.
Go to RecycleRightTN.com.
Recycle right, Tennessee.
Forget those fluorescent lights and freezer burn. This ain't your average grocery run. Meet your farmer, talk a little livestock, and take home the juiciest veggies in your life. The Rutherford County Farmers Market, celebrating 50 seasons.
At Lane Agri-Park in Murfreesboro.
Real food, real people, and real local.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's Drive EV program has resources for members who would like to learn more about all aspects of EVs. MTE is developing programs and educational materials to answer member questions. Learn more at driveev.com.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's restaurant. Right now, there's this big talk of tariffs. So we start looking at where do all of our suppliers get their product from. Even though we're buying it from, and it looks like it's from an American company, but they're getting it from China. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value. When the prices do go up, we have at least a cushion to work off of. Come eat with us at Demas's restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com, the Good Neighbor Network.
Welcome back. 51 degrees and raining here in the heart of Tennessee. Rain in 50. Well, we need that rain, though. Today, we are focusing on the city of Murfreesboro. We have some really top choices of guests this morning to give us answers we need. Nate Williams, the Executive Director of the Recreation Services for the city of Murfreesboro. Greg McKnight is here. He is the Executive Director of the Development Services for the city. And Erin Tucker, who holds it all together financially. She's the Chief Financial Officer, the City Recorder, and the Treasurer for the City of Murfreesboro. We mentioned on the going into the last break that we're going to be talking about Buc-ee's. Everybody's ready for Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's, it's a Buc-ee fever going on.
Absolutely. We just had the groundbreaking. A couple of weeks ago, a great turnout. The owner and founder, Buc-ee's, was there. Had a great time, Bart, and we're excited about Buc-ee's being in Murfreesboro.
It's amazing. When we had the chance to meet and talk with that man, he is the owner. Yep. I mean, it's not a corporation. He owns all of them.
Yep. Started out in a small little store in Texas and has grown it from there.
I would say he's done well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they're amazing to work with, great people to work with. Since they arrived in Murfreesboro, they have been excellent partners going through the process.
Now, in those earlier year, it was about a year or so ago that the conversation really got going and they signed agreements and everything. But it took until just recently for them to begin constructing.
Yeah.
What slowed it down?
Yeah, they were actually charged with actually getting the their off ramps and on ramps constructed and working through TDOT processes before they ever started on the actual Buc-ee's store. So that's what they've been working on for the last year, is just the infrastructure for the roads, interstate connections and access, and then now they're going vertical with the actual store, which is only going to take 15 months to actually construct and get it open for business.
Now, anybody who's been to a Buc-ee's elsewhere, to any of the, there are two in Tennessee right now, another one under construction right now in Clarksville.
That's
we'll
great.
Have four, which brings us to be number two in all of the world of Buc-ee's.
Yes, and he did say that he enjoyed the state of Tennessee and would be building more Buc-ee's in Tennessee.
Now, word is that because you have a lot of influence on this, Greg, that we're going to catch up with Texas.
As
having the number of
yes,
Buc-ee's.
And he shared that with us during the groundbreaking as well.
Because they have 30.
Right, that's correct.
So we got we have a little way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Greg, is it true that you come into City Hall every morning and say hot brisket on the board?
Yeah, that's what I do since we started working with Buc-ee's.
I figured so.
Yeah.
And people don't see you right now, but you got a Buc-ee shirt and a Buc-ee cap.
And I have a uniform that I wear when during the week as well, Bart.
And Bill Shacklett, our vice mayor, was the speaker for Murfreesboro there at that groundbreaking.
Yes.
And he released the information that his granddaughter is going to be dressed as Buc-ee.
For Halloween. That's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
So some big things to happen soon here. One of the things that comes to mind whenever we see Buc-ee's is traffic. A lot of traffic, slow to get in, slow to get out. But you've done your due diligence on getting this together, so maybe we will have less of a problem.
Well, I don't know. Buc-ee's is going to attract the traffic that it attracts, but they do an excellent job with how they manage the traffic off the interstate as well as internal traffic with their site. So they're the professionals with how to manage the traffic, and they want people to get in and out as quick as possible. So they've actually done a great job with managing their TDOT partnership as well as the city partnership with Chris Griffith and Michelle Emerson and their team to actually put that whole plan together for the area.
Now, when you see that many people in one location getting off at that one exit, that's got to mean business growth for somebody else who's coming in, and that has not been a big business attraction center until what it's about to be.
Yeah, it is, and we've seen a lot of interest in that area now with, hotels going to be going in that area. Camino
really?
Real is going to be going in that area. Okay. There's some other stores that are going to be, retail spaces are going to be going in since Buc-ee's came into town.
So hotel will be there as well?
It'll be in the area of Butler and in that area as well. So, yeah, we see a lot of traffic, a lot of inquiries in the planning department regarding development in that area.
Now, the city and state worked together to align Butler Drive with that area. What needed to be aligning?
Yeah, I think that was Chris Griffith and Michelle Emerson and that team actually just realigned Butler Drive to actually have a straighter shot, pathway in the road structure.
Will there be anything done with Butler Drive on the other side? Over on South Church Street, Shelbyville Highway, whatever you'd like to call it.
I think there's plans in the major thoroughfare plan, but it's only a concept right now that will come later.
Okay, so that's a big, because that is important too. That's been a traffic bottleneck.
Yeah, sure.
Not as big of a bottleneck though. If we're talking about bottlenecks, maybe we shouldn't have brought this up. Kaysen Lane and Old Fort Parkway. Is there anything that has to be the biggest? I mean, because you're right there on another road moving into it, connecting with it. It's just a mess.
I can't speak for Chris Griffith and his team, but yeah, I don't know that there's any plans right now to be able to do anything with that area, or if there's anything that can be done. But I would leave that to Chris Griffith and the public infrastructure team.
Okay, so your table there at the city is pretty full with planning and different things of that sort.
Yeah, it's always moving for sure.
Aaron, on your table that is equally full, let's talk just a bit about the Community Investment Trust. This is from the sale of Murfreesboro Electric Department. How much money was that you have in the trust?
So I think we have probably a little over $80 million. I'm not sure. Craig actually just sent that report out earlier. We ended the year in the upper 60s at the end of December 31, 24, with I think it was $66 million, and then we've done well with our investments. We've got a great investment team working with us. So that was structured with a 15-year payment plan from Middle Tennessee Electric, with about $40 million was like a down payment, and then they pay a little over $17 million a year. Part of that goes back to parks, roads, and the general fund, in kind of a staggered setting for the first few years, and then it'll fully go into the trust after, I think after 2027 or 2028, for just to fully fund into the trust there. And then the trust will be invested. We've, you know, worked with the comptroller's office on what we can do with our investments to make sure we're getting the best return possible there. And then we get a distribution out of the trust that goes to the general fund and then to our charitable organizations in the city, which I think has been a really successful transition, moving from a general fund funded charitable contribution to this coming out, because as the trust increases, so does what we're able to give out to the charities each year.
Now, some people have said this is similar in putting it together to what the money was when we sold our Rutherford County Hospital.
Yeah, there's a big comparison to the Christy Houston Foundation. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I think there was a lot of discussions with the individuals that were in charge of that when the Christy Houston Foundation was developed. And so that's been really helpful to have them, you know, as advising on how to kind of set things up and everything. Craig Tindall, he's still working with the city. He works heavily with that committee and with our trust investment advisors. And so he has experience in that area as well. So, you know, Ann Davis sits on the committee on the board for our trust, and so she's very knowledgeable. It's been a really big game changer. We got, you know, $5 million for parks. That's helping with the Veterans Park. We're gonna have almost $38 million for road projects. And then the funding that goes into the general fund, which we're using a lot of that either for operating purposes, but we've also dedicated probably close to $10 or $12 million to capital projects that we would otherwise have had to borrow for. So,
now, are you using strictly the money that is made from interest?
Right, that's correct.
So it's going to never get smaller.
Well, it could eventually, just depending on, we have a sort of a staggered approach on how that goes. It would be a long time before it started getting smaller. And we're actually taking our financial policies to council soon, where we can talk about what should happen with how the city should react if that does start to get smaller. But you know, if the market tanks or something, there could be.
Well, let's don't talk about that.
Right, exactly. I'll say never. Yeah, I don't like to say never. So,
okay, let's talk a little about, because all of you just got out of a council retreat, I understand, and City Manager Darren Gore had said that you really were excited, you were all up to date, and really focused on bringing all of these into action.
When I think it's a good time to say that it takes three of us to come do the radio show for Darren.
Yeah. You know,
it takes three people to come in and fill in the big shoes. So
I bet Darren is listening, though, today.
That's right. That's why we said
for
that.
Sure. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
So, our jobs depend on that statement right there.
You're luck, doing guys. A great job. And they were all on time and looked good, Darren.
Thank you, Bart.
let's talk about solid waste. We have just a few minutes left, but that's certainly big on the table. Certainly has been big in the conversations over the years. We're trying to jump into recycling, and if somebody just moved here from out of state, they're probably saying, trying to move into recycling? What are we talking? This has not taken over in the South.
Well, there's been discussion about a downtown pilot program. Mm-hmm. I think that does get discussed Monday night for interest.
We discussed it during the downtown business meeting on Monday night, that there is a pilot recycling effort, pilot going forth with the downtown area first before moving forward anywhere else.
And, of course, Donna Barrett is working on a program that is on now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think she came to the council workshop, two council workshops ago to talk to discuss the recycling efforts that she wanted to bring forth to the city of Murfreesboro.
And that is phenomenal, what she has put together.
It is.
I mean, it's for some reason, I guess, the South just never got into that. It was never pushed. It was not a part of our lifestyle. As it was in the North, especially in the West, and in the Southwest, I guess, too.
Yeah, I think right now there's a lot of players starting to come together to come to figure out the best way to move forward. You know, I think everybody agrees, you know, how it's operating now is not sustainable, and the city's trying to be proactive in how we can address the solid waste issue and move forward in a productive way.
And also, Bart, I think the other thing was to make sure it's actually a recycling program and it's not just going to the same location that all the other trash was being hauled to, I think is the big thing that Donna was speaking to with her program, was making sure it was actually split up and really a recycling program.
Right. While we're talking about things, we have just a few minutes left in our broadcast. I do not want to leave out about the roads, because a lot of roads, traffic is an issue, and a lot of the traffic issues deal with roads. The forecast is calling for Cherry Lane to be extended. We've talked about that for years.
Yeah.
We've talked about the expansion of Thompson Lane. We've talked, I don't know when, this goes way back. Bradyville Pike was going to be renovated. They have had multiple people killed, pedestrians. And the last one on there was a young child was killed by a car. And they said, we're going to do this now. But that's been 10 or so years ago, maybe more.
Yeah, and Aaron can speak to just the road projects, but the Bradyville Pike development was actually moved away from the TDOT plans. And so that one has been moved down, but the other ones, Aaron will be able to speak to in relation to where we are with those.
When you say down, does that mean lower in priority?
Lower in priority, and then actually put those funds into other areas of the city of Murfreesboro to actually move those to the top.
We have about a minute left, so.
Okay, fast. Yes, we're funding Cherry Lane on those extensions at several phases, and so that's included in our CIP, but it also has federal and state participation. So we have to work through that with the TDOT and make sure all of our environmentals are good, which is why things take a little bit longer. Old Fort, we are working with the state on that. Again, like Bradyville, Old Fort, Memorial, those are state roads that we have to work with the state. So we're doing as much as we can to partner with them to provide seed money to entice them to participate quicker for us so we can get projects moving faster.
So that is on the ballpark. It's going to happen.
Yes.
It is moving.
As fast as we can, and yes, absolutely.
Since you have a crystal ball with you, and what do you think is going to come first? Of all of those projects, what are we going to start seeing happening first?
I do not have that crystal ball.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Old Fort has some good steam behind it.
Yeah.
So that might be our best bet, but I couldn't say for sure, honestly.
You know, I think we could do a whole show, get Jim Kerr and Chris Griffith in here, and I think we could spend an hour just talking about roads. Or three, and to give a good forecast and explanation of where each project is specifically.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have done a phenomenal job. Nate Williams with us this morning, Executive Director of the Recreation Services for the City of Murfreesboro. Greg McKnight, Executive Director of the Development Services for the City. And Aaron Tucker, Chief Financial Officer, City Recorder, and the Treasurer for for the city of Murfreesboro. Boy, you've got a big title.
It's a long title, yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Bart.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.